Amen and amen. So the more that you seek, the more that you will find. We know that in scriptures. It says, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be open, ask and you shall receive. So that's what we're going to be doing today. I'm glad that you are here. Sadly, again, as I look and see who's here, you know, we seem to have a bunch of folks MIA. It's just, wow. You know, as me and Chris was talking about this morning, it just seems like many people's not hungry for the word. We have many folks that seems to be leaving this server. You know, I gotten some emails, you know, saying some not too pleasant things. You know, I actually been called a cult, and I've been referred to as Jim Jones and David Koresh and a few others, and I got y'all brainwashed, and I got y'all stuck here following a false prophet, as I was told. You know, so I don't know. You know, they're bashing us, you know, and I guess they're convincing people in DMs here, you know, to leave the server and head over their place. You know, I just don't understand it. I can't figure it out. You know, but again, you know, God does what he does, and he reigns on the just and he reigns on the unjust. And, you know, those who's pulling those people away from here, those who's playing those games, those who's causing discord and lies and everything else, heck, you know, they're going to stand before God just as much as I am. You know, again, yeah, Rick, I know, buddy. I know. It's heartbreaking to see so-called followers of Christ claiming to be followers of Christ acting in deceit and discord. It's mind-boggling, but yet people are convinced by their wordings, you know. There are scriptures, I forgot exactly where it's at. Be warned of those, I'm trying to think how mine, flatter you with words or something like that. So, you know, they're slick in what they're saying, and they're trying to cause disruption over here, but who knows, you know. But anyway, y'all are here. You know, I'm glad that you're here, because again, it's another message that I've been working on. I've been doing many things, and again, me and Chris talked about, you know, I've been actively seeking the Lord. And in our last many messages, you know, for the last, I want to say a month and a half, almost 2 months, you know, we've been covering many things, you know. And as I've been looking at those things that we've been speaking about, and I've been looking at myself, you know, I've been really digging deep within me. And I'm doing what they call a spiritual self-examination. If I had my Bible with me, I got it marked. But, you know, it's in 2 Corinthians. It tells us to examine ourselves. And I've been doing that. And, yeah, there's some things I'm finding I got to improve on that, and I'm working on it. And I've been doing what they call a spiritual journey or a walkabout. You know, I kind of mentioned that to the group last night. So, but, you know, I'm just going to do what the Lord leads me to do and just, you know, go and do whatever I need to do, you know. So, but today, you know, in this message, we're going to talk about what it means to seek after God. And like I said, me and Chris talked about it this morning. And these folks that's causing all this discord, these folks that's claiming to be followers of Christ, these folks who says they love Jesus and everything else, but yet they are doing exactly the opposite. Well, to me, and like me and Chris agreed upon, they cannot be seeking God. There ain't no way. If a person was truly seeking God, they would see the error of their ways. Apparently, they don't. They got one thing in mind, and that's to strike back, because either they're jealous, either they are upset because, you know, things didn't work out too well, other people were put out of the room, they're angry, they're mad, you know, who knows what's wrong with them. But, you know, when I sit back and I look at them, and I've been thinking about this message, there is no way they can be truly seeking God. No way. I'm sorry to say it like this, but y'all know me. I don't sugarcoat stuff. But when someone's acting anti-Christ-like, they can't be seeking God. There's no way. And that's why I'm going to talk about tonight what it means for us to be seeking after God. And if you recall in the last message and the ones before that, I mentioned about me taking this spiritual journey and asking oneself the hard questions sometimes that many people do not like to ask. And I've been telling y'all this. I've been doing this strictly for myself. I'm asking the questions that some people generally would not ask themselves. I'm doing it for my own reason in order for me to see things clearly, because I am actively seeking God. And I also said in that part that we need to be truly honest in those questions and be ready to seek the answers we're looking for. So you need to be honest in self-examination. You need to be strictly honest and not afraid to ask all those questions. And you need to be ready to see the answers you're seeking. But sadly, what happens to many Christians today, many are not seeking God in the way it should be. And most of this is in part to what I call a form of microwave Christianity. They're not actively seeking God, but what's going on, they're not doing it in the way it should be, because, again, I'm calling them microwave Christians. And what I mean by this, if you think about it and you look about it and you read about it, you don't have to go very far. You see that service times are cut to just under an hour. Prayer is glanced over. Worship is designed mainly to entertain the masses of people. Some people say they are bored, and they say, well, so our service needs to be more appealing. Folks, that's not seeking God. I don't know what it is, but it's not seeking God. And folks, I'm saying this because church is boring. Those who say it's boring, church is boring. Because the power of God has vanished from many congregations. There is a lack of desire to pursue Him in the pulpit as well as in the pew. Like Samson, they know not that the Spirit of the Lord has departed. Many of these people who are not actively seeking God cannot see that the Spirit of the Lord has departed from the place, or even from their own lives. But there is hope, my friends. There is hope. If we once again seek after God, there is hope. If you got your Bible with you, Lisa, she's going to take care of it for us. And God bless her heart, because she does a fine job at it. She will post the reading scriptures for you tonight, which is going to be Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. And look what it says, folks. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, that's what we're trying to do here tonight. And Father, you know my thoughts and you know my prayers. And I just sit here at awe that all these people who come here and claim to want fellowship and want to chat with each other and want to talk scriptures and want to do so many things, you know, on the entry questions. And yet a lot of them, Father, you know, I don't know why, but then whenever you have to talk to them and kind of use a little bit of discipline to steer them on the right path, they don't take to it well. Most of them leave. And Father, the others that they're hearing, I don't know, they sure, them other folks are sure really talking a good sales pitch to them and to convince them that I'm the devil, that I'm the evil one, I'm the wicked one, I'm the one that's misleading a lot of people, that I created a cult here. Again, God, I'm not going to question that, because again, I'm just seeking you. I'm looking and seeking and asking. And Father, I'm just going to do what you tell me to do. Who cares what those people feel or what they say? I feel sorry for them. I really do. They're so engrossed into sin, they can't even see it for themselves. And it saddens my heart to see that. It really does. So, Father, I pray for those folks. As I was reminded when I was out working in the yard today, you know, when Jesus was hanging on a cross, he said this, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And I was reminded about that on some other things that I was seeking you on and seeking answers. So I thank you for giving me those answers. So I ask of you, those who are here tonight, again, they took time to come here. As I always say, they could have went and done something, watched TV, went and listened to radio, messed around on the internet. They're here for the message. You know, I'm not trying to brag. It's not about me. It's never about me. I'm going to keep trying to do what I do, and if it gets to the point that we have to walk away, then we walk away. But bless those folks. Be in their hearts. Let them know that you love them. They care for you, God. I know they do. They love you with all their hearts. I can see that by their wordings in the chat. I can see that by the way they talk to each other. I can see that by talking scriptures. I know they love you. There's no doubt about that. The others, I don't know why they don't want to show up. I don't know why they want to come here. Again, maybe in their minds they got better things to do. Who knows? But Father, we ask you to be with us in a short time in this message right here. Put your hand on us, watch over us and guard us, and let us know that you are still the sovereign God over everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all know the title. Again, I gave y'all the title as heads up because, again, it's flashed over and over and over with the automated bot. And the title is Seeking After God. Now, in order to start this off, you know, I always dig into my messages and I kind of get into this part, you know. How do I start off this message? Even though I start off with an introduction, I had to dig down to seek in this content what Jeremiah 29:13 was saying. You know, when you look at the word, you will seek me. You know, and I had to look at the content, you know, and find out what does it really mean, seeking. Well, I don't suggest this for anybody, but, you know, I do a lot of study. And I try to read Greek and I try to read Hebrew because, again, to read scriptures in its original content is much more meaningful than the current translations today. Translations does do a good job. It really does. But, you know, if you really want to read it in its original language, it's hard to understand it, and I'm not great at it. I just try to understand a few key contents to help me get more meaningful meanings of the passage. But see, to seek in this content means, are you ready for this? To find what is missing. That's what it means to seek. To find what is missing. And when you look at the Hebrew word for seek, now please excuse me, I'm just an old Cajun boy here. My accent is not really that great. But the Hebrew word for seek is baquash. Baquash. B-A-Q-A-S-H. Baquash. If that's how you pronounce it. That's just the way I pronounce it. That's how it sounds like. There's a little app online. You know, you type in a word and click sounds like, and that's what the guy's saying, baquash. But that's what it means, seek. And it has a very strong meaning. Now, picture this. Close your eyes and picture yourself in this situation. Now, imagine losing all of your credit cards and all of your cash, your car keys, and your checkbooks in a crowded mall. So you went shopping, and you had all that with you, and you started walking out, you know, to go to your car or whatever, and you realized everything is gone. Your entire heart would be engaged. So now, how would you spend your time? Where would your energy be concentrated? Now, if you're thinking this, I guarantee many people will be frantic. They'd be so desperate. They'll run back into that mall looking everywhere desperately for those credit cards, for the money, the car keys and everything. Wouldn't you do that? I know I would. I don't know about you, but I guarantee people would. Now, parallel this in the same manner in seeking God. Do you do it the same way? Do you do it like your life depended on it? Those of you listening, are you seeking God in that same manner? Thought-provoking, isn't it? To me, one of the most, and I'm going to be honest with you, to me, one of the most difficult challenges in being a preacher, or a pastor, minister, whatever you want to call me, or you can call me something else. But one of the most difficult challenges in being a preacher is not sermon preparation. No, that's not difficult. Leading a church? No, that's not difficult. Or appointments? No. To me, one of the most difficult challenges in being a preacher, it's witnessing the tragic results of spiritual dehydration. Watching people die spiritually when the living water is just a few steps away. That's what's difficult. Watching them in spiritual dehydration. And sadly, we are too busy and too self-absorbed to truly seeking Him with all of our strength. That's why I used the illustration about your credit card, your money, and your wallet, and everything else lost in the mall. You would do anything and everything to seek after that. But do we do that really for God? Do we? You see, in today's culture, there are countless enticements that pulls us away from truly seeking God. And folks, it is my firm belief, second only to salvation, seeking God is the most important aspect of a Christian life to truly knowing God. How so? Well, look what Jeremiah 29:13 says. Again, I use scriptures always to back this up. We just read that, but I'm posting that again. Because it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. If you truly want to seek God with all of your heart, you will find him. If you're honest with yourself. If you do so in an important way. Now, I'm not talking about casually, and I'm not talking about half-heartedly. We need to do it vehemently. I mean, we need to do it like we're doing in our credit cards. I'm speaking for myself, because a lot of times when I lose my car keys, I can't find them. Man, look, I'm tearing the house apart. Like a lot of times, you know, I got a bad habit of leaving my wallet in my pants, and sometimes when I put on a fresh pair of pants, and I get outside, and all of a sudden I reach back in, I can't find my wallet. Oh, man, where's my wallet? Oh, no. Oh, and I start going crazy, and I start looking everywhere, and I can't find it. Eventually, I find it, you know, in the dirty laundry. Oh, whew, thank the Lord. But do I seek God like that a lot? And sadly, I'm guilty of not doing it. I'm guilty of not doing it. I'm not seeking God that way. We need to work on that, folks. If you want to experience spiritual enlightenment, you best start getting serious with the Lord. You see, what happens here in this passage, whenever you are truly seeking God, what Jeremiah is doing to those people there, what he is telling them, he hits to the core of the hardest questions. And even when we read it, when we read that passage, what Jeremiah is doing, folks, he is hitting to the core of the hardest questions we need to ask. Am I really seeking God? Or am I just gone with the flow because I have forgotten what it really means to seek Him? Wow, let that sink in. And sadly, very few of us ever experience this close relationship with God because it involves things such as humility, dying to self, vibrant prayer, and heartfelt worship. And look, this isn't meant to discourage any of you. Those of you who's listening, this isn't meant to cause discouragement, but to convict. We all need convicting from time to time. That's the only way, like us being a stubborn mule, we need to get hit with that proverbial 2x4 to get moving. And yes, my friends, conviction is a wonderful gift from God, and it's used to turn the heart back to Him. Conviction's good. Let's be honest here. Come on. How many have truly experienced Jesus' words as what He spoke in John chapter 7, verse 38? Look what it says. And this is Him speaking to us now. When He says, "Whoever believes in Me, as the Scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And also, how many can truly relate to what I call times of refreshing found in Acts chapter 3, verse 20? And look at that. And which says this, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and He may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. And folks, I love that because what it's saying here, many people have head knowledge. They do. Many people have head knowledge. But they never truly experience the presence of God. They can quote scriptures till the cows come home, but they don't know what it's like to truly experience the presence of God. And the fact is, many are never willing to take the real test to see if they are truly seeking after God or just showing others how much they know. In fact, they know very little of Him. Many are not willing to take this test to see if they are truly seeking God, and sometimes God will have to put us through a test to see if we are willing. Sometimes chastisement comes. Sometimes you go through a hard test. Sometimes you go through a hard battle because, again, God's going to test you to see if you truly are seeking after Me or seeking something else. Now, when we let Him test us, are willing to take that test for real, this walk and this test that we will go through does one thing for us, and that is to get us to focus fully on God by turning to Him, seeking after Him for guidance, and looking for answers. That's what the test does. If we seek God and all of His wisdom, He will show us what we need to know if we open up our hearts, our minds to Him, and to let Him help us to speak to us and to show us His glory and His will for us. And by seeking after God, it shows us that we are to depend on Him and not of ourselves. How so? Take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. Look what it says right there, friends. But from there, you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him. if you search after him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Same way like you're searching for those car keys, that wallet, and those credit cards. You seek God in that manner, I guarantee you, you're going to experience God. Bottom line, if the Lord is sought in that manner, he will be found. Seeking after God draws you and I closer to him, and by drawing closer to him, he draws close to us. Again, how do I know? The Word of God says so, because here's what it says in James chapter 4, verse 8. Right there, black and white. See, God doesn't lie, friends. God is telling you the truth right there. Look what he's telling us. Draw near to God. This is James telling us this, but he knows. He's giving us the answer. He says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Kind of like what some of those folks in them other places are doing by running after us and spreading the score and lies. But folks, when we draw close to God, look, it gives us strength. It gives us a better understanding of his will and not ours. When we do so, then we are willing to ask those hardcore questions of our relationship with him to see if we are true to him. When you're drawing close to God, when you're seeking God, and you're asking those questions, folks, what you are doing, you are seeking to find out if you are really true to him or not. And when we do so, look, I promise you this. I know this for a fact because of what I've been through. When we seek after God like that, God will show us the right way of living. And in doing so, he puts us back on the right track. And then we will trust him in all matters of our lives. Folks, let me tell you something right now. Without God, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. By us seeking God's will, we do please him. How so? Galatians chapter 1, verse 10 says so. Look what it says. For I am now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. And in addition to that, look what we see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Look what that says. And I just kind of hinted on it just a little while ago. And it says right there, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Hebrews 11, 6 has a strong contrast to our faith. Because if we don't have faith in God, it's impossible to please him. It's impossible. That's why I love Hebrews 11, 6, folks. I love all the Word of God, to be honest with you. Seek after God with all of your heart. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. If you get anything out of these messages, I hope you get something out of this one. We are to be diligent in seeking him, his guidance, and asking for it, watching for it, anticipating it, receiving it. Trust him to guide you now and always. Seeking after God's will is, in fact, pleasing to him. Seeking after God, folks, with all of your heart, in fact, is pleasing to him. Those who choose not to do so may have yet surrendered themselves over to God's will, or they are not letting go of something in their lives. This is why we must seek out God and give all to him. And by turning to him and opening ourselves up to him, this allows him to help us with our problems that we face and gives us an insight to his ways of how we should be living in our Christian walk with him. When we see in times of extreme pressure, we are looking to God for answers. We come to Him because God stretches our faith and deepens our dependence on Him. And with that, without strong, abiding faith, without strong, abiding faith, we can quickly fall down, get discouraged, grow weary, get tired of the trials we face in our lives, and we end up looking at ourselves or others rather than seeking God for the answers we need to find or hear. And if we turn over our hearts to Him, my friends, our minds, our thoughts to God, we can stay focused on Him. And He will help us always, even during our worst times, if we fully trust Him. If we seek after God other than the means of the cross, we will never find Him, never understand His will. We must surrender ourselves over to Him and draw close to Him to know Him better. So, the question is, how do you know if you are surrendering to God? How do you know? I pondered on that one for a little bit. You know, I said, how am I illustrate that to the folks who's listening to this message? How do you know if you are surrendering to God? And it hit me like a light bulb. Not physically, but, you know, ding. How do you know if you're surrendering to God? Simple. You know you're surrendered to God when you rely on God to work things out instead of you trying to manipulate others or forcing your agenda or trying to control the situation. And I told a group last night, what you need to do, God is in control, not you. That's when you know that you are surrendered to God. When you decide, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to rely upon you. I'm going to rely that you're going to work things out for me without trying to manipulate it or forcing my own agenda or trying to control that situation. You need to let go and let God work. You don't always have to be in charge. That's right, folks. You do not always have to be in charge. Surrender yourself to the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Stubborn temptations and overwhelming problems can be defeated by Christ when you turn to Him. If you do not surrender to Christ, you surrender to anarchy and chaos. Now, straight up, surrender is not the best way to live. Whoa, Jim. Wait a minute. That's right, folks. Surrender is not the best way to live. It is the only way to live. There is no other way. Caught you on that one, didn't I? So, we ought to make it our goal to please Him. Your wisest moments will be those when you say yes to God. Because if He's going to do His deepest work in you, then it will begin with this by saying, yes, Lord. Yes. If He's going to do His deepest work in you, it begins with you saying, yes. Your past regrets, your present problems, your future ambitions, your fears, dreams, weakness, habits, hurts, and hang-ups will amount to nothing if you do not put Jesus Christ in the driver's seat of your life. Take your hand off that steering wheel. Do not be afraid. Nothing under His control can be out of control. if mastered by Jesus Christ, you can handle anything. If you are mastered by Jesus Christ, you can handle anything. I can't remember the movie, but I noticed this saying there, but it was in a movie we was watching, and it said this, that God can open doors that man cannot, and can close doors that man cannot. Now, first one, but I get it. I get it. Let God do what He does best. Seek God. Ask. Do not be afraid. Trust Him, and He will never let you down if it's done in accordance to His will. Seeking after God gives us guidance, and we find that life is full of choices. And if we want to make the right choices, those that glorify God and benefit us and others, we must seek out God's guidance in our lives. And yes, my friends, all of us will eventually come to places and times in our lives when we desperately need God's guidance and to examine our hearts. We will come to that point one time when we desperately need God. And you can get there when you start to examine your hearts. So how can a believer? So you're thinking, okay, Jim, how can a believer find that guidance you speak of? Well, these seven words that I'm going to speak to you in closing this up may help you find that. The first one is this: cleansing. Cleansing. And we need to ask ourselves, is there anything in my life that's hindering me from hearing what you're saying, God? Is there anything in there that's hindering me from hearing what you're saying? And if so, what is it? You see, friends, cleansing comes from confession. How do we know? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The second way of finding guidance and seeking God, and you heard me say it a little bit earlier, is surrendering. That's right. Some people don't like to hear that word, but that's what we must do. Surrendering. And what I mean by that is submitting to the will of God. Let me back this up. Let me back it up. I'm going to rephrase this. What surrendering means to you and I, it means for us to surrender to God's will in a humble manner and an uplifting experience. When you humble yourself and surrender yourself to Him, then God can see your heart and He can work with you. And the reason why I'm saying we need to humble ourselves, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says this. And I love how He puts it to us. He says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. You see that? Do you see that? When you surrender yourself to God, He, and if you do it in a humble way, not a contrite way, not a prideful way, but if you humble yourself before the Lord, under the mighty hand of God, at that proper time, He will exalt you, because again, the Word of God says so. Get those stubborn prideness out of your life. Quit trying to do things yourself. Let Him do what He does best. Surrender your heart to Him fully in all things. And look for those cobwebs in your closet and get the dustbuster and clean it up. The third way in seeking God to get that guidance we need, very simple, and I've been doing this a lot myself. asking. That's right, God. I've been asking. You want to seek God? You want to seek guidance from God? Ask. God's promise that when we ask in according to His will, He will hear us. And how do we know that He hears us? Very simple, my friends. And yes, I have my window open in case somebody wants to stand in the parking lot and hear the word. But how do we know that God hears us? Very simple. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 through 15 says this. Look what it says. And this is the confidence that we have towards Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, oh, look, there it is. He will hear us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. Woohoo! Now, before you start jumping and leaping for joy, think, oh man, okay, so everything I'm going to ask is going to happen. Right? Somebody better get, oh, okay, I'll try to trip y'all up, but Lisa got it right. No. Everything you ask for will not happen. I'm not trying to pop your bubble. But you got to remember one thing. You got to ask in accordance to His will. Now, it is hard to seek His will. But when you seek after God, you're seeking His will. But you do ask. But I want you to remember, most important, please. Answers will come. And it may come over a long period of time. And it may come over a short period of time. But it is by His time and not ours. Y'all know Isaiah 55, 8, and 9 by heart. If somebody could pop it up real for me real quick, you know, I didn't write it down, but you should know this verse by heart. And this is why we know that whatever we ask, it's not according to our time. It's according to His. Well, in fact, God don't have time. But it's according to His will, His way. But the answers will come. They will come. It's 55, 8, 9. So don't be discouraged when you go pray to God and you ask. Now, when do we have a clue to asking God of what we need? We don't. Some folks go to God and they pray for a Lamborghini. And they wind up with a Pinto. Some people I know go pray to God for a 32-room mansion with a big swimming pool in the back. Some may wind up with a 2-bedroom trailer with a little hole in the back of the trailer with water in it. Now, is God having a sense of humor or did He answer the prayer? You see where I'm going with this? God will answer, but He's going to answer in a way He knows what you need, not what we think we want. Oh, I want a lot of things. Hey, I don't know about you. Wouldn't you love to be a millionaire? Fancy yacht? Planes? Taking trips? Man, that's what I want. Let's see. Only got $4 in my pocket. But I got $4 in my pocket. But I'm here in a trailer. I'm speaking to you. My wife just cooked a fancy meal, which I'm going to eat after this message. I'm truly blessed. I don't need that $1 million. Could it help? Yeah. But again, no. The fourth thing in seeking God's guidance, and I love this one, my friends, meditating. Meditating. Somehow I almost got close to it right now. Lisa just kind of jumped ahead of him, but yeah, she hit the right verse. meditating, because God's promised that His word will be a lamp. God promised that His word will be a light to our paths. That's what Psalms 119, 105 says. It says right there, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The real meaning behind that passage right there, my friends, the more that you and I think about His words, the clearer your path will be. The easier things will understand to you. The better your journey will be. You'll start to say, I'm starting to get it now, God. I'm starting to see it. I'm starting to see it. The fifth thing in seeking God's counsel, His guidance, when earnestly seeking after Him, and this is very important for all of us, believing. That's right, believing. Because in Mark's gospel, we learn that when we ask, we must believe He is going to give us what we have requested. That's Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to 24. Look what it says. And you kind of said, Jim, well, wait a minute. Didn't you just say sometimes we don't get everything we want? True, we don't. But God knows what we need whenever we ask. We may not get exactly what we want, but He's going to answer the prayer. So what we must do whenever we pray, you know, I spend a lot of time when I pray for someone sick. Honestly, I'm going to tell you straight up, I believe that when I pray for the person in the name of Jesus, it's going to be done in accordance to His will. But look what Jesus said, folks. This is Him saying it. So Jesus answered them and said, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and who does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and will have them. Now, notice the key word in that passage. That's a big, long reading right there. But I don't know if some of you has been keen on listening to what Chris has been talking about lately in the room. And he's been hitting on a very key word that's affecting a lot of Christians today. Doubt. D-O-U-B-T, doubt. I tripped my wife up last night asking her, what was the first thing that happened in the Garden of Eve with Garden of Eden with Eve when she saw the serpent and she listened to the serpent, and what happened? She doubted. She doubted. And before you know it, one thing led to another. You see, folks, when we pray, that's why Jesus is telling us, we need to have that faith like a mustard seed. I don't know if you've ever seen a mustard seed, but I have. That thing is teeny, 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 tiny. Very tiny. You can hardly see it. It's there. You can see it with the naked eye. We had to put it into a little glass, you know, like jars or something for people to see it. In fact, it grows a huge plant. I like that, see? But see, that's what Christ is telling us, folks. When you got that faith like a mustard seed, and whatever mountain you face, have faith that it will be removed. Be careful. It may not be removed in the way you want it, but it will be removed. The sixth item that we need to focus on when seeking after God and seeking His guidance. Oh, Jimmy. You didn't have to go there, because this is one I have a problem with, folks. I don't know about you, but this is kind of one of my hang-ups. But when seeking after God and looking for His guidance, the sixth thing that we must do, here comes waiting. Ugh. Waiting. There's lots of us who don't like waiting. Whenever we hear that word, we kind of shudder. You really kidding me? Waiting? I gotta wait? Really, Lord? But folks, God's promise that he acts on our behalf when we wait for him. How do I know? Well, look what Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4 says about that. It's spelled for you right there in black and white. And look what it says. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. Wow. Really? You see, folks, if we want to, instead of waiting, yeah, you can run ahead of him. You can dash in and try to fix things on your own. Or you can manipulate the circumstance. But if we wait on the Lord, then our sovereign, divine God will act on our behalf. It's our choice. It's our choice. That was Isaiah 64:4, Lisa. So, folks, whenever you're faced with a situation, don't run ahead of him. Don't try to do things on your own. Don't try to manipulate it. Be patient. God will act on your behalf. And the last item, the seventh item, when we're actively seeking God truly with all hearts for his guidance, and I love this one most of all, is receiving. That's right, friends, receiving. You see, when we obediently seek the will of God, we can be sure that he will hear us and give us the wisdom we need to make the right life choices. If you're truly seeking after God and being obedient in doing so, he's going to grant you that wisdom to make the right choices. And I quoted this passage at the earlier sermon, but here it is right there in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Matthew chapter 7, 7 and 8. And look what it says. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek. Does anybody know the Hebrew word? I'm trying to teach you Hebrew. Can somebody tell me what the Hebrew word is for seek? Bakwat. Ask and it will be given to you. Bakwat. Bakwash, or how you pronounce it. But asking, it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and it will be open for you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open. Wonderful, isn't it? Y'all learn the Hebrew word. You learn what it means to be actively seeking after God. So I'm going to leave you with this. Bottom line, you, my friends, will find great peace and confidence that in knowing that you are making the right choices based on God's guidance and not man's. Now, perhaps when you are truly seeking God's path, you want to walk that journey and be truthful in that journey and decisions that you got to make within your lives. Perhaps no one will understand nor agree with your decisions. But that's okay. What matters the most, you have heard from the one that means the most. When you are actively seeking God's will for your life in a true, open, sincere, contrite heart, you're going to see decisions must be made in order to correct some deficiencies and walk the correct path. Because again, there may be some out there in your lives They may not understand you. They may say, Jim, I don't get you. Why are you doing all this? It's not for them to know. That's between me and God. That's between you and God. Seek after him like you never sought after him before. And find out, have you lost that first love? Or have things been kind of quiet for you lately and you ain't been on the right path maybe? Who knows? But seek him with all your heart. Because again, as he says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Seek God like you never sought after him before. Amen. Let's pray.